Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. Many of us are about 12 weeks into being cooped up at home. That is, if we've followed public health guidelines to limit contact with other people. And even though the state Supreme Court has struck down Safer at Home, our local tourism industry is still feeling the effects of people taking social distancing seriously. Anthony Pennington Cross is a professor of finance and the Bell Chair of Real Estate at Marquette University. He recently spoke with Lake Effect's Julian Haida about how the pandemic has impacted vacation rentals and hotels in the Milwaukee area.
Professor Pennington Cross, thanks so much for joining us on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
First things first, how did the market for Airbnbs and vacation rentals in Milwaukee look before the onset of the coronavirus? What were vacation rentals like last summer, for example?
Right. So one thing to remember with Milwaukee is that we're a little behind a lot of the other larger cities. And so Milwaukee was quickly ramping up in terms of, you know, potential hosts and in terms of renting. And most of the renting occurs through Airbnb, you know, over the summer months. And so, you know, last summer months, it was busy and well occupied. But when you get into winter and stuff, the occupancy rates and the offerings out there are much, much smaller.
It's not Colorado where vacationing to Milwaukee is something that people might do year round.
Unfortunately, it's very cold here in Milwaukee, and so some people may come for some cultural events to stay a night or two, but you know, I think it's more the events that we have during the summer do draw in people from all over the country and some across the world. So those are more traditional Airbnb renters, and so that's kind of, we have a heavy seasonal cycle here.
I see. And so what that means is going off the winter, heading into spring, which this past year was when the coronavirus pandemic really kind of hit in the United States, they were balancing their books and looking forward to reopening after a lull in the winter. What effect did the virus have on the bottom line of some Airbnb hosts in the city?
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is really tied into the DNC, right? The Democratic convention coming to Milwaukee. And so there was a big increases in the number of hosts in the city who are hoping to rent out their condos or their homes. And so this is, you know, been a big hit. If you had someone coming in, they were going to stay in your house for a full week, and you were charging a real premium rate. That's likely gone. So, you know, so it's a substantial hit for those folks. There are also Airbnbs that function really in apartment buildings, where a kind of professional host company rents out two or three apartments in an apartment building, and then they rent it out through Airbnb in the secondary market. And so those types of institutions, you know, have been hurt also by this. So it's actually a bit worse for us, the whole COVID piece, because of the Democratic party convention issues.
So what's the kind of overhead that either a kind of small family kind of renting out their extra room versus a company that is expecting the DNC to come into town? What's the kind of overhead that costs them in expecting to host the people coming into town? And how can those losses be recouped?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't know the exact dollars for the overhead, but I could tell you that it's very easy to become an Airbnb host. It's not 100% trivial, but it's almost a trivial thing. And the costs to do that are fairly minimal. So in terms of, from that perspective, the overhead costs are very small. The bigger overhead costs are going to be associated, and where risk comes in is if you have a mortgage on a piece of property and you're hoping you were planning on paying that mortgage through some Airbnb rentals, right, to make it affordable for yourself, or if you're running a company, then, you know, it's going to be hard to make those debt payments going forward. And so we're kind of waiting in the market to see whether that has any additional impact on the performance of those mortgages. So that's where the overhead comes in and the obligations associated with the rentals. And so that's important for large companies. And then that's important for families or individuals who were stretching. And one way they were going to make their mortgage payments was through an Airbnb. And then this is also important in a more traditional tourist locations. So let's say, if you're renting out a house full time through Airbnb and it's not your primary residence. And so that could be a financial strain there too.
So there's a difference between having an extra bedroom and an extra set of sheets, overhead not so high, but if you buy the house next door because you live in a touristy neighborhood, well, then you might be in trouble.
Exactly. Then you're in distress right now.
So do you expect a situation, as we've been hearing a lot about, like mortgage relief because of the economic recession that we're seeing because of coronavirus, do you think there might be a difference if something is seen as an investment property versus someone's primary residence?
Yeah, I would anticipate that there's more forbearance for ownership than there is for kind of pseudo investment property. That said, in the commercial markets, there's a lot of forbearance going on. So and typical forbearance, my understanding is that, just kind of extending terms and saying, you don't have to pay me for the next 3 months, but you're going to either pay me back with higher payments in the future, or we're going to extend your mortgage out and allow you to make those payments over a longer period of time. And so hopefully that'll work out, and that should work out okay if the virus gets a situation starts to improve.
That's very interesting. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM 89.7, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Julian Haida, and with me is Anthony Pennington Cross. He's a professor of finance and Bell Chair of Real Estate at Marquette University. Now, I've been reading about some renters in more expensive tourist cities like New York and LA, and by renters, I mean apartment renters, people who don't own their homes, who are somewhat relieved that on account of the coronavirus, Airbnb's prices have fallen. They say that it makes it more affordable for them to have a more consistent place to live if the house next door isn't renting out to tourists, they're renting out to people who are looking for long-term residence. How does that track in Milwaukee, or does it not at all?
Yeah, so where that impact, so there are a lot of potential consequences of Airbnb. And in the kind of, I would call them like mega tourist locations. So the New Yorks and the Barcelonas and places like that, you've had kind of swaths of neighborhoods, which were traditional residents. And, they've turned into a tourist residence that are short-term renters. So kind of the nature and the feel of those locations have changed. I haven't seen any evidence of that type of that happening in Milwaukee. That said, there is plenty of evidence that Airbnb has driven up rents on a multifamily rental. And so my interpretation of those results are that owners of apartments have, shifted over some of their units to Airbnb, either in-house or through a third party. And so it's reduced the supply of multifamily housing in some locations.
Yeah, that's a very interesting kind of dynamic, a kind of a give and take of where people can live. There's also been a tension not only between homeowners and renters and Airbnb, but also between Airbnb providers and hotels over the years. In part, it's over compliance about laws regarding safety, fair competition. Is this more recent kind of movement around the coronavirus proving that hotels are a little bit more resilient over vacation rentals, given their kind of economic models, or not so much? Are hotels struggling just as much?
Actually, hotels are struggling more. So hotels have proved less resilient to this. And so I'll give you, if it's okay, I'll give you a couple of statistics of what's been going on with hotels. And so if we're looking at luxury chain hotels, the occupancy rate for last week was 14%. The same week a year before, it was 78%. So high-end hotels are largely unoccupied at this point. This isn't as big a deal if you look at the chains that are cheaper, so the economy hotels. And so last week, economy hotels were occupied at about 50%, but their traditional occupancy rate in the prior year was about 63%. So yes, they took a hit in terms of occupancy, but it's not as large on the lower cost end of hotels. So the huge financial strains are on the high end hotels. And what does this have to do with Airbnb? Airbnb is traditionally seen as being a slightly cheaper option. And in general, I was looking up some data about a couple hours ago, and occupancy rates, are about, over the summer, they're projected to be down about 20% from last year.
Airbnbs, so not the kind of dramatic 50, 60% drop as for luxury hotels.
Right. So it's really that top end piece that's been hit really hard in the hotel world.
Why is that? And does it really only just affect their profit margins? Because I think, I'd imagine that high-end hotels and more budget hotels have relatively similar overhead. I mean, sure, the sheets might be nicer. Sure, some of the amenities might be a little bit higher quality. But I can't imagine that making such a big difference. So how are these kind of bigger hotels going to respond? Are we going to be just getting, bargain deals at the Hyatt for the next couple months, or are they going to start shutting down?
There are some large hotels which have pretty much shut down. And so I think for now we're going to be some partial mothballing or the shutting down of some of them. So, these companies are going to be in a lot of stress that are in the high end market. And so that's just the way it's going to be. Air traffic is way down, right? And so that's kind of an indirect indicator. And so if you look at, the distance people have come to go when they're traveling, when they're going to hotel, I have a piece of data that I got out of Chicago. The people who were in the hotels in 2019, they were about on average 642 miles away, but right now it's about down to about 46 miles. So people that are staying in hotels and staying in Airbnb are driving there, so they're not flying. So the kind of the dynamic of those markets have changed substantially.
Yeah. And now, just for sake of context, I'm curious, do you know how luxury hotels fared after the 2008 financial crisis? Was it a similar dynamic, or?
Yeah, it was very similar. So they have a history. When there's a big shock, they do very poorly and then rebound nicely. Once there's more business travel, so business travel is a big portion of that, and once higher income people feeling more confident.
Sure. Very interesting. I had no idea that the hotel industry was so volatile, and always great to learn.
Yeah,
thanks
so
much.
For me, it's super interesting that you still got 50% occupancy in the cheaper hotels. So I'm not sure exactly who those people are, but I think it's people like nurses and first responders who are not going home or potentially staying in hotels, and these are the people who are being required to go to work. So I think that's partially what's going on there.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably learn a little bit more in the coming months as well. So thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting looking at this market. It's the first time we've seen it, how it's going to perform through a big downturn. So it's an interesting thing to watch.
Anthony Pennington Cross is a professor of finance and the Bell Chair of Real Estate at Marquette University. He spoke with Lake Effect's Julian Haida.